El Señor les continúe bendiciendo grandemente y es realmente una bendición.
May the Lord continue blessing you all greatly. It is truly a great privilege and blessing to be here in El Salvador, along with the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin, my wife Sarah, and those accompanying me, also Ruth, who is also with us, and the rest of the ministers and brethren here from El Salvador, and also from Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, Mexico, and Costa Rica, yep, Honduras, and the rest of Central America, and also from Paraguay, there are people here, and also from Colombia. Well, some of the different countries are also accompanying us. So it is truly a great privilege and blessing for me and for Sarah to be here with you and to have this fellowship around the Word of God and His program pertaining to this end time. El Salvador, I was told by a brother, I thank him for the information he sent me. They used to call it the province of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, which means El Salvador. He told me something like that, and then they shortened it to El Salvador. So it has a good name, El Salvador. And they also let many Jews in. So, although El Salvador is small, it has a big heart. And that's surely why there are so many Jews descendants, Hebrews, here in El Salvador. All of Latin America is full of Hebrew descendants. So, the whole divine program is moving so that all the scriptures are fulfilled. There's an alarm going off over here. He beat the alarm. Done. There is a part where you can set it in silent. Well, that is part of the everyday life. But we thank God that the alarm has gone off for us to wake up to this new dispensational day. And we have opened our spiritual eyes, and God has begun to heal us spiritually so that we can see that new dispensational day. That is the greatest miracle. That is the greatest healing. The spiritual healing. Behold, there is a healthy people here. A people who have seen the divine program for this time and have identified the pillar of fire. In the message, let us see here, titled The Mystery of the Man Who Ate the Little Book, there our brother William tells us, preached on December 3rd, 2006, in Calle, Puerto Rico, he says, "Now when Christ, the mighty angel, who comes down from heaven, the angel of the covenant, who came 2,000 years ago to earth, in the midst of the Hebrew people, and delivered the Hebrew people, and then he was speaking to the Hebrew people through the prophets, and then he became flesh and carried out the work of redemption with his physical body, then he resurrected, glorified, and he is in heaven with his glorified body. He will return, Christ, the mighty angel who comes down from heaven, the Holy Spirit, the angel of the covenant, will return to earth with the little book open in his hand. He will cry out that time is no more. That had already happened. That mighty angel has already come down and spoke and said that time is no more through a human voice, and will hand over that title deed to a man, and consequently to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, represented in John the Apostle. The Apostle John represents the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and all the messengers that Christ has sent to His Church. Therefore, there will be a church that will be recognized by God as the Church Bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, to which Christ, the Angel of the Covenant, the Holy Spirit, will come with the little book open in His hand and will give it to the messenger that He has in His Church in the last day. And you have already identified that messenger. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And He will reveal to her the entire content of that book. Now, one of the things that He will reveal to her, do you know what it is? Or do you know what it's going to be? He will reveal who you are. Why? Because your names are written there. Therefore, He knows. He knows who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He also knows who are written in the Book of Life. And a bit more. And He also knows who will be blotted out. Because He has the title deed. It is an abstract book. It is the Book of Life. That is why the resurrection and transformation can occur at this time. Without the title deed on earth, there can be no resurrection or transformation. Therefore, both those in the sixth dimension as those of this earth, they depend on that book. We'll have that title deed and we'll talk about the content of that title deed. Look at what he says here in Revelation 10:10-11. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And now, the one who will take that little book at the last day will be the messenger that God has for His church at the last day. And therefore, by him receiving that little book, sealed with seven seals, but already open and brought by Christ, the angel of the covenant, the Holy Spirit, the church then will also have, therefore, the title deed, so that in the claiming work of Christ, the dead in Christ may obtain the resurrection and glorified bodies, and the living to be transformed, along with the messenger of the last day, who will have the ministry of the last day. He will be the one who will have the final ministry in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we examine the scriptures closely, we can see that the chapter that follows chapter 10 is chapter 11 of Revelation, where the ministries of the two olive trees is shown, of the two anointed ones who stand before the presence of God, who are the ministries of Moses and Elijah, ministries that will be manifested by the Holy Spirit on earth, in the midst of the human race, in the midst of the Church of Jesus Christ, and then in the midst of the Hebrew people, which is and which are the ministries that have the corresponding prophecy of the last day. The prophetic ministry to prophesy over many peoples, nations, and tongues corresponds to the two anointed ones. And therefore, the one who will eat, the one who will receive that title deed from Christ, the angel of the covenant who comes down from heaven with the little book open in his hand, will have manifested in him through the Holy Spirit the ministry of the two anointed ones, the ministry of Moses and Elijah, to prophesy upon many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings, the things that are to happen in this end time. He will not be Jesus Christ, nor will he be the prophet Elijah literally, nor will he be the prophet Moses literally, but in him will be Jesus Christ in Holy Spirit manifested, operating the ministries of Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. So notice how that reality is being lived out today. They were types and figures in the messengers that God sent, but it is being lived in reality today. That scripture has been fulfilled before your eyes today. But he will give glory to Christ, will give the glory to God, for he of himself has no ministry nor power. It will be the ministry of the Holy Spirit, operated by the Holy Spirit, by Christ in Holy Spirit, for the blessing of all the elect of God that are written in heaven, in the Lamb's Book of Life, for all the members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he, at his coming, he comes to those who will be transformed. His coming is for those who were waiting for him. The one who is not waiting for him, because of course, some are waiting for him in a certain way. Well, therefore, his coming is not for them. Because when God fulfills his coming in the way that he already had it in his program, and they see that it is not in the way they were expecting it, no, that can't be. And when one searches, let me look here. Oh, no wonder. These people won't receive him or haven't received him. It's that they are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, but they are written in the Book of Life. Some, because others are not even written. Now, there, they run the risk of being blotted out. And don't think that the Holy Spirit, the angel of the covenant, isn't watching for everything to be fulfilled to the letter. And he sees how names are being blotted out. Notice. And it is not something to be happy about. It is something so sad that after they have been around for so long, to see that they have crossed the line and that they are blotted out. And what awaits them is something terrible. That is something so sad. It's very sad. Because one would have wished not to know them. One would have wished to have never come across them in life. Because one becomes fond of them. One gathers love for them. But of course, once you see that, one cannot stick your hand in for them. Just as Jesus could not stick his hand in for Judas Iscariot. He called him friend. Notice the trust he had in him, that he kissed him when he betrayed him. In other words, he was a close friend of Jesus. Now he continues to say, and with the message that the Holy Spirit will be speaking through him, the elect of God of the last day, the Church of Jesus Christ, will receive the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The message that Christ will be speaking through that messenger will be the voice of the seven thunders of Revelation chapter 10. And he told us that the thunders would utter their voices in a great tent cathedral. In other words, that ministry under the tent, that messianic ministry, which, for the fulfillment of the tenth vision, would be making known, preaching. Preaching what? The faith. To be transformed and raptured. The rapturing faith. Which is where? In the thunders. Now notice that messenger is the one who brings the rapturing faith. Will be the voice of Christ as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of kings and Lord of lords in his claiming work. And therefore, it will be the first occasion in the history of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ will be speaking as King to his church and to all mankind. The only occasion that he is, because there he says, will be. But now we can say, he is speaking to the church bride. Why does he say to all mankind? Because the third pool is for the bride, the foolish, for the lost, and for the 144,000. Therefore, it is the first time when he, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is speaking to the bride and to the whole world, to mankind, as king. Because he comes as king in his claiming work. At the first coming, he came as lamb to redeem us. But at his second coming, he has come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in his claiming work. Now, also look a bit further. In this message that he preached to us, the elect are the reason. In other words, the subject says it all. The reason for the whole divine program from Eden to this end time is you. Everything that God has done is so that in this end time, that group that would be to his image and likeness, those who will remain alive, would be transformed. In other words, God's purpose from the beginning, from the trajectory of the seventh seal, which comes from Genesis, is for you. Look at how important you are. Perhaps you may not be important for the society where you live, or you are not important for the world. But for God? Look, what's better, to be important for God or for man? For God. Therefore, you are so valuable and so valuable that if we were to put it in human value, the world, the governments, every time they see an elect, they would try to take them. And the more they have, the more multi-billionaire that country would be. Do you see that? They keep gold, they keep diamonds, they keep dollars, they keep whatever it is that is valuable to them. But I'm putting it in that form. If they were to see the value that you have as an individual, whether you are a newborn or you are an elderly, they would be taking all those values and they would want to have it for themselves. But since they do not know the true value, then what does God do? I will take this to my house. The rest will remain there for the great tribulation. He has come to look for those precious pearls, which are the ones that are truly valuable to God. And that is you and that is me. That is why, by you knowing who you are, always stand tall, with your head held high. Whatever happens, I am one of the precious pearls of my Heavenly Father. I am valuable. Oh, there are times when they offend people like this. No, you're worthless. That person doesn't even know what they are talking about. Of course I'm valuable. I am worth more than you can imagine. And you move along in the Christian life. He says here in this message, it was on May 2nd, 1976, he says, therefore we see that anyone who takes the life out of that word, what is that? Taking the true meaning out of that word and gives it to anyone, what is he doing? The same thing that denominations did through the church ages. They took the word and took the life out of that word. And when the life of that word, of that letter came, the life of that letter, how did it come? In the first coming of the Lord, in that young carpenter of Nazareth. There, the life of the word came, which had been brought by the messengers in the Old Testament. of which Moses spoke about, and the prophets Isaiah and all the prophets who spoke about the coming of the Messiah. But then, the letter was not the only thing there. Notice, Jesus had the scroll. They gave him the scroll. He opened it. He found a place where it was written in Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." And that scripture, but now the life of that letter was there. And here he is speaking to us already from the time of the apostles until now. And he says, "And when the life of that word, of that letter came," the life of that letter came in the form of the Spirit back then on the day of Pentecost. But then that life of that letter was coming through human lips, being preached. And then the message that was preached and that the apostles had, that was the life of what? The life of the gospel, of the four gospels, the life of that. What was it? It was the book of the Acts, the letter of the apostles, and all of that was the life of the gospels. See? Remember that we are in apostolic times again. Therefore, we see that the flesh of the gospels and the life of the gospels are what? They are the teaching brought in the book of Acts. And from then until now, by the apostles, Apostle Paul to the Gentiles, and back then, Apostle Peter for the Jews. Therefore, the life is what the denominations rejected. That's why the denominations say, "I believe what the Lord said, but I do not believe what the apostles said." See? They believe and receive what? The body. But they take the life out of that body. They take the life out. They take the blood out of the body, out of the word. And then by taking it out, they do have a word indeed, but lifeless. So it is not a benefit for them. It doesn't truly nourish them. It doesn't produce eternal life. They may say, "We have the messages of Brother Branham and Brother William, but when that word, that letter, has come to life, then they reject it." And what good is it to have a word, a letter, that is dead? You have the word, the message, and you have him also alive. Therefore, you have it all. And that is the title deed, which has returned amongst the human race, and it is of that tree that you and I are eating from. You are eating from the tree of life. Who is the angel of the covenant? Christ in his final manifestation, making known the mystery of the seventh seal, making known the mystery of his coming. Therefore, what are they eating? Word without life. That is those who take the life out from that word. Word without life. Because life is the important thing in the word. So, in order to believe according to what the Lord said, one had to believe according to the teaching of the apostles. Now notice that in order to believe, everything that was spoken by the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, and everything that was spoken by Dr. William Soto Santiago, the person is required to then believe the teaching under the tent. As simple as that. In other words, there is where the life of that word that was brought is. And without that title deed, without that book, which has been opened and which caused silence in heaven when that seventh seal was opened in heaven, you will notice that with the opening of that seventh seal in the midst of the church, that is what has caused this revival at this time. This revival that is growing each time in a progressive manner. Each phase of this third pool being established. And it will all come to that climax where the Reverend William Branham was brought to in a vision, and there he saw, "Here I am about 8, I'm still about 10 feet up, I would need another 2 feet. He was taken there, and he saw it like this. In that place, he saw the group. Now remember that people were also watching in different countries. They were connected. Therefore, that also shows us the places where they will also be connected at that moment in that activity. In other words, everything is, let us say, a rehearsal of what will happen in that activity. In other words, all of this is something before what he saw there. All of this are activities which are being carried out and will reach that peak part, which is the activity that he saw. But how many more activities after that one will be there, and how many would have taken place before? Well, many. Now, notice that he was taken there, and he saw preaching. Well, if he saw preaching, then there must be a preacher. Somebody was preaching. And then, you would notice that there is something there that the human part is seen, of which we will be speaking about. But remember that the third pool, the angel told him, "You will say nothing about this." And you can imagine when you know something and nobody else can know it, sometimes one says, I don't know if it happened to you in a certain situation that you know something and you say, if he only knew. That's one on the inside. If he only knew, and one goes, if he knew. Well, that messenger knows everything that is happening, everything that God is working through him. And he will say nothing of the things which he can't say, lest imitators arise. For the devil is an impersonator. And you say the devil is an impersonator, and you put it as, remember that he has his instrument. Just as God has his instruments, the devil also has his instruments, human beings. And it is not that they want to know so they can tell the congregation, look, this is like this, look, this thing here, let's do this, let's do that. Because he already spoke clearly. And he's the messenger. But instead, what they do is to try to watch, so to copy and pull. As Brother Branham says, pull people to their sects instead of focusing them on the messenger that God sent. That is how it happened in the first and second pool. He spoke publicly and taught them how that gift worked, that ministry, and they began to imitate his fellow ministers. And many carnal impersonators arose. The angel said to him, look what you've done. You've rose up many carnal impersonators. But for the third pool, that will be something very reserved. He knows what he must do. And the enemy of God will not be able to do anything, as he could not do anything, as Brother Branham says, with Moses. No one could touch Moses until he finished his work. And no one will be able to touch the two olive trees until he finishes his work. We know that Revelation 11 is coming in his final ministry to carry out all that prophecy of the book of Revelation chapter 11. We see him prophesying already there. But notice that is an adapted ministry. And he can say, no man takes away my life. I lay it down of myself to take it up again. It is the second occasion that a man, that a leader, can speak as Jesus spoke and can prophesy of what will happen to him. None of the messengers could speak in this way that I'm speaking now. None of the messengers could say that he was the fulfillment of Revelation 11. Why? Because first, they have already departed, and a glorified body cannot come to die again. In other words, when they come back in glorified bodies, it is not to die again. There's a scripture that speaks, I don't know if it is in Hebrews, that says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, that is established. If a person dies, he goes to the sixth dimension, if he is an elect of God. Now notice, and there he waits for that call to resurrect in an eternal and glorified body. Once he returns in that body, he cannot die. Although, one could say that if he's killed, he will resurrect. But that will not happen. The only one that, while being alive, will lay down his life after Jesus and will resurrect at the third day are the two olive trees, Moses and Elijah. The others, if they depart, they have to wait for the resurrection. That is a mystery that has been completely opened at this time and that was spoken by prophets of the Old Testament and by Paul as well. The apostles, Paul, more clearly by the Reverend William Branham, and also by Dr. William Soto Santiago. And now, everything that they spoke, that revelation of that word which they brought, is now being fully made known. In other words, the word is being placed right. Those who do not have the word, the life of that word, they have the letter. And since they do not have the life of that letter, then they are all confused. And they put the cow eating on top of the tree.
Todo un despelote.
A whole mess. I don't know if you use the word despelote here. If there is a country that word is incorrect, but in Puerto Rico it's like a mess, a disaster. It was in Hebrews, is where it says, Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto man, once to die, but after this, the judgment. Notice, there it is fully fulfilled in those ministries of Moses and Elijah. Because after the death of that ministry, of those ministries in that instrument, then what comes? The divine judgment of the great tribulation. That scripture is completely fulfilled there. Those in the sixth dimension will resurrect to never die again. Or would you want for someone to come from there to be then killed? That doesn't make any sense. But notice, there is where you see the true revelation of God, which we thank Him that He is guiding us on this path to the promised land of the new body. And He has stopped the sun. It has stopped and it is shining upon our understanding the scriptures. And He is rejuvenating us inside out. So, Salvadoran people, may God bless you, may God keep you, and aware of who we are, and also aware that El Salvador will be in the glorious millennial kingdom. Therefore, may God bless El Salvador. May God bless his inhabitants. May God bless his people. May God bless the chosen ones of El Salvador. May God bless you. May God keep you. And the word, the letter, we have it alive. The word, the letter, the message that was brought to us by the forerunner, and the good tidings that the Archangel Gabriel brought to us, we have it all made a reality. We have it in life. That is why I say that the true believers of the message of the Reverend William Branham and the message of Dr. William Soto Santiago, where are they? Here they are. And in the different countries that they have seen the life of that word. They have seen the reality. They have seen the flesh of that word. And they have felt it. And you have seen it with your eyes. And you have believed it. And you have received it in your heart. You have seen the word incarnate in a man. But when our Lord appears on earth, he will come on a snow white horse. And he will be fully, completely Emmanuel, the Word of God incarnate in a man. That is what the people of God has seen and received, that word that has been brought. They have seen the life of that word, of that letter. And you are eating of that word, of that living word, which has come at this end time. For everyone who love and were waiting for his coming. It's been a great privilege for me, a great blessing to be here in El Salvador in these brief moments in the morning, enjoying the living word, the word with life, which that letter can speak, that letter can laugh, that letter can cry, that letter can pray for the people. That is the true meaning of that word. Oh, that is something great. It is the tree of life once again in the midst of the human race. Well, may God bless you and keep you, because we would then have to go into, if that happens with one, how will it be with all of God's elect? What is God doing to you? Remember that what he is, the bride also is. When you understand and comprehend that that word is also doing that work in you, and that life of that word in you, he's doing that great work that he promised for this end time. And you can place the word right, you will see what the power of God is. And that is about to take place. And each time I long for it to be the day when I open my eyes in the morning, this is the day, Lord. That's how you should be. Every morning, get up and say, Lord, may this be the day that you use me as it was promised, that I be your instrument, that I may be one of those vessels that you would fill full, that nothing else will get in there, and that you may use me in this day. We await that every day in the morning, that glorious day where God will be using you without limitations. Remember that the same thing that happens with the messenger happens with the individual, with the people. And this is individually. Well, may God bless you and keep you all. And may he keep helping us to continue to see the living word, a living messenger, a living people. Now remember that they there are listening and they are looking because the action is here. Over there they are all in silent. Well, may God bless you and may God keep you all. And we will be getting ready to then have the pertaining part here and to be connected with Puerto Rico. Remember that he said that we could have activities in different countries if time allows. He said, and look at how that word has not fallen to the ground. We have had and will continue to have activities as far as God allows us in different countries. And if that time when a phase of the divine program in the third pool is about to begin, we will also be like this. Well, I will also be with you in that phase as well. If we have been there in the preaching, then I'm sure we will be in the other phases as well. Well, we will leave it here. The third pool, going through Latin America and the Caribbean and Israel. And before Israel, we have around Africa. Therefore, God has not forgotten Africans either. We love the Africans, and we also wish great blessings upon Africa and over Israel. But we will continue to pray for the people of Israel and also for those who are still in that condition, who have been kidnapped and they have not been delivered, released yet. May all those who are yet to be released soon. And may they return to their homes. And there are also people who have died already. May they deliver those corpses already. That happened there is a terrible thing. But all of that has a purpose in the divine program also. Because notice, they will be then at a point where the only thing they will have is Moses and Elijah. He says, when they see the possibility of holding on to something, in other words, there is nowhere to go, he says, Moses and Elijah will be there. In other words, all of that will be pushing the people of Israel to a corner. Now, all of that, we also see on one hand that scripture that when they see peace and safety, sudden destruction will come. In other words, everything may be moving towards all that for what is happening worldwide. And suddenly, that scripture will be fully fulfilled. And then the next thing will come. Always be aware of everything that is taking place in the world, so you can see all the angles and all the things that God is carrying out at this time. Well, may God bless you and keep you all. And until a few hours where I will be with you again. May God bless you and keep you all.